Welcome to Mission Minded, the podcast where we explore outside-the-box thinking and carrying out the Great Commission. This week's episode is part two of a two-part series featuring author and iTech founder Steve Saint. Now here's our host, Jim Tingler.
You know, it's been fun being around iTech. I've worked here now going on 10 years, and so almost a decade, and seeing the innovation, got stuff hanging on the wall from redesigning a motor to be able to be used right. in the jungle with a canoe to different ways of trying to have showing videos in remote places or, you know, all kind of different designs. And, you know, you mentioned the dental chair, but I think one of the biggest challenges is transportation. And you mentioned that earlier, that the Wild Donnie wanted to learn how to fly. And so how did that whole concept of trying to even tackle that begin? Because who would even consider trying to give them the tools of aviation?
You know, I picked a kit plane that would be real simple to build, and we actually built the components here, and then I took it down to Ecuador with my brother-in-law with on American Airlines as accompanied baggage, except for one. Well, we had some aid from American Airlines, but we got it down to the jungles and built it, and we're test flying it, and the prop failed, and I had my only crash landing out in the jungles. And I realized, you know what, this is a simple to build, it's a small plane, but it was short coupled, as we say in aviation. It was really squirrely. And I thought, yeah, this isn't going to work for them.
Right.
And then we went back to the drawing boards, and somebody asked me when I was speaking someplace, have you thought about powered parachutes? And I thought, yeah, but they don't go anyplace. I mean, they go about 20, 30 miles an hour. But then when I had crashed in the jungles in this very innovative plane, I realized, you know, the Wild Donnie could handle powered parachutes. And when Pimenta, the little boy from End of the Spear who is going to be buried alive, he was up here, smart man, but we taught him to fly. He soloed, I think, after about 5 hours of instruction. He flew all by himself. And then we took the powered parachute down there, and he operated it for a couple of years and never had an accident.
Wow.
So we either can change them to fit our world, or we can change the tools in our world to fit them. And there's only one way it's going to work with them being independent. That's if we reimagine and reinvent the tools that
right.
they can afford, that they can use, that they can maintain.
Right. Yeah. So, cost is always a big concern.
Huge.
The ability to be able to learn and maintain is a huge challenge as well. And sometimes those tools that would fit that, they just don't exist. And so
usually they don't exist.
Right.
Medical, you know, stethoscope and things, you know, that's much simpler than dentistry. But then, you know, we go places with our iFix team. And I remember the Wild Donnie, the oil companies would give them outboard motors. They would give them generators and but never a tool. And they my brother-in-law, Steve Buer, he went down with me to the jungles, and I asked him to show the Wild Donnie how to take apart an engine. We had a little lawnmower engine, a little Briggs & Stratton. And so he took the whole thing apart, then he put it together, pulled the starter rope, and boom, the thing fired up. And everybody looked at like, wow, that's a miracle. Then Steve, who didn't speak any of their language, he picked two of them and he said, you know, now you do it.
Wow.
And they looked at him and shook their head, and he said, yeah, and he handed them the tools, and then he left. They took the thing all the way apart. He came back, and he said, that's good. And then he had me translate, okay, now you reassemble it. And, you know, they even torquing the head bolts, they had watched how much strain he had on his arm, and they got it almost exact just by feel. Then at the end, when they had it all back together, Steve came back and he said, you know, have you started it? And they shook their heads no. So he said, so start it. He checked, you know, did you put the oil back in? And they said, yeah. And they pulled it and it popped on the first one and it started on the second one. I mean, it was just like a bunch of little kids. They never imagined that they could do something like that. They watched Steve do it once, then he had them do it, and they put that engine back together. I mean, the piston was out, the rings were off the piston. They did the whole thing. They realized, okay, we can do this.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the innovation of trying to find those solutions, you know, one being how do we teach people how to maintain these things that they have, right, led to our mechanical training, or, you know, our iFix that Steve Buehr and other team members have gone on. But even still, there's those things that are still in the gap as far as solutions. One of the things that you worked on was the Maverick. It's the flying car. And so, you know, you have the powered parachute capability, but that kind of sits in between. And so taking the idea of, is there something you could drive and fly was a challenge that the iTech team took on a number of years ago.
The what happened with the Maverick is it got to be too expensive, mm-hmm, and it got to be a little bit too complicated. So that one didn't work. In fact, I was working on a new wing, developing a new wing, which instead of a parachute wing, a fixed wing like most airplanes have. And it came out of the holder and flipped over, hit me on the head. And, you know, there's not a day that goes by that I don't remember that there's a price to pay if we're going to reinvent the tools. With me, it means that at 61, instead of traveling, I'm mostly home and I live with a lot of pain and a lot of incapacity. But, hey, that's still the way we're supposed to do it. That's the way that the scripture teaches us. Go out and meet people's felt needs to open the door to the gospel. And then somebody goes to train, then they train them to be trainers. And then they start teaching other people. And finally, I mean, people ask me, so this is only for the Wahwatani? And I said, no. I mean, the last time I remember we counted, we had iTech dental equipment, a brand new invention in what? I mean, it was 58 countries.
Yeah, it's well over 60 countries, yeah.
And now we're finding it in places that we had no idea it had gone.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's having an impact for sure. And, you know, I think that, you know, just going back to what the Maverick, you know, we ran into challenges with it. And along the way, I think that, you know, you might look at how it might not have got to the field how you had imagined it, but I think you inspired other people to think differently along the way. In that one, you know, Popular Mechanics gave it the Breakthrough Award in 2007. Right. And so many people came to cover the story, you know, the CNN, the Travel Channel, Smithsonian Channel,
Discovery Channel.
There's so many people that came to cover the story, but when they came to find out the why behind it, it was so much more. And I think that potentially God has used that in a way to inspire other people that might be gifted mm-hmm. in engineering to think about how they can use that in, you know, mission efforts around the world.
Now we have a UAV, unmanned aerial vehicle, right, department teaching people or developing unmanned aerial vehicles to deliver medicines that can do it at night, can do it very inexpensively instead of, you know, risking a plane and a pilot. We've got the iFix, we've got iFilm, mm-hmm. you know, teaching people. Video is an incredible way to teach people to do things. And at first, you know, we didn't think, hey, if we do it, if we teach people with words and we got to translate it into, you know, 2,000 languages.
Right.
But we started playing with it and found that, what does that mean?
It's good.
That's almost international. What does that mean?
Really good.
Really good. And what does this mean?
Really bad.
Okay, now I'm going to give you a sound, and you tell me whether it means good or bad.
It's bad.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's good, yeah.
You know, it's amazing how fast people, especially in frontier areas, can watch somebody do something and then copy what they do.
Right.
So we've been, you know, we've done a lot of innovating with teaching, but if we make all the videos, then it tends to be they see white guys doing it
right.
or North Americans doing it. But now we have the iFilm team teaching people to make their own videos on just a, mini iPad.
Yep.
And filming it and editing it there so that they can not only teach people how to do things like iDent, iFix, iMed, iSee, iFly, film.
Yeah, I mean, agriculture training, I mean, it can just keep going on.
Really?
So, yeah.
iFarm, that's right.
And so, yeah, giving them the tools and teaching them to be able to tell their own story or however it may.
You know, President Reagan said, if you give a man a fish, you've fed him for a meal. If you teach him how to fish, you've fed him for his lifetime. We go one step further. If you teach them to make fishing tackle, then pretty soon everybody can learn how to fish and feed themselves.
Yeah.
So it's trainer training.
Yeah. Yeah. So say there's a mission pastor, you know, listening to the podcast. And, how does this apply to his church? You know, he's probably, you know, pretty involved with keeping up with a lot of people working around the world. Maybe they do several short-term trips, you know, every year. And what ways can he consider innovation or engineering and maybe challenge his church in that area?
Well, you know, we don't just go overseas and train people overseas in frontier areas how to do the programs iTech has developed. We can go and train people in the pastor's church how to do it so that when they go, instead of, as Charlie Vidado, our first training dentist, said, he said, I used to go to way out of the way places and I'd spend, you know, a week or 2 weeks there. And he said, when I would come, there were long lines of people waiting to have their teeth fixed. He said, and when I'd leave, there were still long lines of people waiting to have their teeth fixed. But when we showed him our equipment, he started training and he said, now I go and I work really hard, but I teach them how to do it. And when I get there, there are long lines. When I leave, there are long lines. He said, but the next time I'm out on the golf course, I think there's no more lines.
Yeah.
Because those people have learned to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the heart of what we're doing and why we're doing it.
And we can teach people in other churches. I mean, this is something that we want to give away. We want
right.
to train people to use. Then they can go and then they can train people to do it. And
right.
That's really what we rely on at iTech is other people taking what we have and learning to use it and learning to teach people in missions to do it too.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think oftentimes there's people who are more mechanically minded or engineering minded, and they might say, what can I do? What can I offer? And I think you've talked about that here, is just trying to help rethink the tools or the approach for people in frontier areas. And so it's a big part of who you are and the DNA here at iTech.
And iTech is open. I mean, there's lots more things that need to be developed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's millions and millions of refugees. that need counseling and need encouragement. And that can be done with music and can be done with drawing. A lot of these people have suffered incredibly. But refugees that have moved out of their home territory are more open to the gospel than they were when they were in their own home place. Going and showing Christ's love by even just encouraging them, even just, I mean, playing music, teaching them to sing, singing with them, being friendly, and then teaching people. North Americans really going into a refugee camp doesn't work very well, but teaching some Christ followers who are in that refugee camp how to counsel and how to encourage. The scaffolding is only supposed to stay there during the initial building phase, and then it's moved on to someplace else. That's what I would encourage pastors. Just because we've been doing it the way we've been doing it doesn't mean that that's the way it needs to be done or should be done, or it can justifiably be done.
Right.
Yeah.
So as we kind of wrap things up a little bit today, the biggest question I get asked about you is, how are you doing? And so I know that it changes a little bit, but can you maybe share with somebody listening just how you're doing these days?
Sometimes I feel so good that I tend to forget I'm an incomplete quadriplegic. I mean, you can't use my hands and arms much, but I can drive. I even still get to come over and fly once in a while. And when the iFly apprentices want to learn how to land and take off on real short strips, then I get an invitation to come over. But there's lots of times when my body is so racked with pain that I just spent 8-9 weeks in severe pain, and 2 weeks I just could hardly get out of bed. And then I'm becoming a bionic man. I have a baclofen pump embedded in my abdomen. I have a pacemaker. And I've got two more places for, they said that their Medtronics that make both of these instruments are making a spinal cord stimulator, which can deal with pain by sending a little so I got a place for that. And I don't know what they're going to invent for here. Fortunately, I have a live-in nurse. She's very affectionate. I picked her up down in the Amazon jungle 46 years ago, and Jenny was an RN, and she takes really good care of me. And we have 20 grandchildren now, and they're really helpful too. In fact, one of them told Jenny, she said, "When I grow up, I'm not going to get married. I'm going to take care of you and Peepaw." And so we thought, well, that'll last a week. But it's lasted years. And finally, Jenny said, "But what if some man really loves you someday and he wants you to marry him?" She said, "Okay, then I'll marry him, but we're only going to have one baby because I'm going to take care of you and Peepaw."
Yeah, well, I tell you, personally, I've been inspired in how you've kept driving forward, and I thought you were going to mention something as well about your watch and your phone, because I think you're a poster child for maximizing the Siri dictation. I mean, you've pretty much written an entire book using just your dictation. Of course, you've had a little bit of help in the edits, but it's impressive how much you can write and get done using your watch and your phone.
Tools. I've been writing a book for grandchildren, thinking first about our grandchildren, but then other people said, no, we want to share it with our grandchildren, so we're trying to make it fairly neutral. But I wrote 160 pages, just tapping one letter at a time, and it makes my elbow hurt and my shoulder hurt. And then son Jamie, convinced me it was time to update my 7-year-old iPhone. And I thought, what can a new one do that the old one can't? He said, it just does it better. So I finally broke down and got an iPhone 11 that Brian and our media department helped get download all my old stuff. And this one, I can speak to it. I can dictate in English and Spanish and Portuguese. And man, it'll take the dictation almost as fast as I can speak it. So, and now I have, you know, one of the dangers is if I fall, I mean, if I got up from here and went over to that couch over there and fell over there, I wouldn't be able to make it back here. I can't roll.
Right.
I can't get up from the ground. So now I got a new Apple Watch that has a feature that if I fall down, it'll interrogate me and, you know, after a few minutes and say, are you okay? And if I don't say I'm okay, then it's going to send somebody, hopefully Jenny, maybe an ambulance or a helicopter. I mean, the tools, look, without this iPhone that another Steve, we have iEverything. Mm-hmm. I tell people, if we'd have just thought about the iPhone and the iPad, then we wouldn't need support at iTech, right?
Right, right.
But these tools changed my life.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to do almost anything if I didn't know that I could call for help.
Right.
I can ask Siri to do things. In fact, with this new one, I was out walking with Jenny. It started getting dark. And when it starts getting dark, I lose my balance. And I thought, boy, if I tug my iPhone out of my pocket, I thought, I just stuck my finger in my pocket, hit my iPhone and said, hey Siri, turn my flashlight on.
Oh, it's doing it right now.
Now look at that.
And there you go. Yeah.
I mean, that's,
yeah.
Steve Jobs said, hey, let's make it so good that people will want to kiss it. And that's what we're trying to do. Hey Siri, turn my flashlight off.
It's off.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what we're doing for people in frontier areas.
Yeah, it's a perfect
so they can
example.
Share the gospel.
Right.
And there's room for more people here at iTech.
Right. Yeah, whether at iTech or right where they are.
Yeah.
You know, at
we'll
their relationships. Yeah, hey, if we can help out in any way, we'd love to be a part of that. Always a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for joining us with this podcast. And thank you for joining us with this podcast today. We look forward to you joining us again. I'm Jim Tingler, coming at you from the iTech Studios. We'll see you again.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of Mission Minded. For more information on today's topic and show notes, please visit our website, itechusa.org.